You're listening to Health First, heard across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
Okay, welcome back to Health First. We're talking to Dr. Gifford Jones and sage of wisdom for us here. Okay, Gifford, as a surgeon, I have a young surgeon in the family, and I'm going to give him your book because I think he could probably use some of your balancing act that you've learned through the years. I would like you to comment, if you can, on the three major things that you really drive home well and balanced is the use of alcohol, not the abuse of, the sexuality, and, of course, exercise. Those three really came loud and clear, spoke to me in your book, and I'd like you to comment on them if you can.
Yes. Well, let's talk about alcohol first. I believe alcohol in moderation is possibly the best medicine that has been invented compared to prescription medication and all the other, you know, junk you can put in your body. But I must say moderation. Most people think I have lead an exotic life, but most of my days are pretty humdrum with writing columns. And at the end of the day, I always have a drink with my wife. It's relaxing. I believe in what Sir William Osler once said, that alcohol is for the elderly what milk is for the young. And at 91 years of age, I'm certainly in that elderly category. And I think it increases not only my good cholesterol, but it also makes the platelets more slippery and less likely to form a blood clot, and in other words, a fatal coronary. Regarding to exercise, I believe exercise in moderation is good for you, but over-exercising is not good for you. We know that people who exercise to the extreme, who are, you know, world athletes and world competitors, they often develop fibrosis of their heart muscle. And one of my grandchildren now, who is an Irish dancer, called me the other night and said, "Oh, my knees are hurting." Well, she'd be Irish dancers, you know, taking a lot of pounding with the knees. So I told her, "Look, cut down a bit. Moderation is better." And there were three things you asked. What was the third one?
Sexuality, my boy.
Oh, sexuality. Let's not forget love. Love makes the world go round. And I believe that a good, happy sexual life is good for everyone. Good relaxation and never killed anyone. So I'm in favor of all these you've mentioned.
Yes, I think what I appreciate about how you've addressed it is I think it really gets these subjects, at least the first two, really get skirted around a lot. And I really feel that the pornography industry today is just doing very well due to the fact that people aren't embracing sexuality, it seems. And you bring it home very well. The exercise I found, the motion, being an advocate of working in seniors' homes for many years, I found the one common denominator of longevity seemed to be too hard of work, I suppose, is not the picture here, but people who are in motion all the time. One of the issues you say is the bathroom scale could be your best friend in keeping weight under control, and just maybe comment on a bit of that here with the
Gary, I step on it every day. I've never been overweight. Right now, I'm 135 pounds. I've been 135 pounds for years. But if I go away on a holiday, you know, or go away to the cottage for a few days and maybe eat too much, don't exercise as much, and I come back maybe 3 or 4 pounds heavier, I take that off right away. And it's much easier to do that than gain 20 or 30 pounds and then try to do it. People say, "Oh, I don't want to step on the scale because it makes me depressed." Well, they should get depressed, and they should, if they were stepping on the scale every day, they would see that they're doing something wrong. In other words, they're eating too many calories. It's calories in food which are so present in the, you know, you can have. My wife sometimes will bring home some cookies, and I'll look at the calorie content. I could eat 3 of the cookies and gain 500 calories. It's crazy. So that people have to look at the calories on packaged foods in particular.
Now, let's say, if I had another fellow on the air here, the one who wrote Wheat Belly, You talked about starting the day with whole grain cereals and whole grain breads. I was quite surprised when I read his book, and he certainly has a lab in his basement. And he comments that the weight gain, the biggest culprit there is the wheat, the concept of not just the gluten, but the protein in there. And I have a lot of people that are coming in, they just can't seem to keep that scale down. And do you have any comments on where we stand with wheat today, grains in particular?
I'm not a nutritionist, an expert on that, Gary, but I can tell you this, that the one thing that I try to stress in the book, that when you, you know, we could both sit here and have a couple of Cokes right now and gain a lot of weight from the calories in the Coke, but it wouldn't stop the hunger reflex. The nice thing about fiber, if I eat an apple with a lot of fiber in it, in all probability, I'm going to eat one apple. I'm not going to ask for another one, because apple with fiber or any other fiber, such as a cereal at breakfast, holds on to water and fills up the stomach, so that the stomach sends a message to the brain saying, "Look, I'm full. I don't need any second helping." And so I'm a great proponent of fiber. If more people ate more fiber, they would have fewer weight problems, and they would be not eating the packaged foods and the gaining calories from fancy desserts that really put on the weight. If most people would stop eating desserts, that would be one great thing to lose weight, along with increasing fiber.
Right. That's interesting. I don't have a weight issue myself. I could eat what I want. I'm not a big eater, but when people look at me, they say, well, how can I get to be like you? And I think I inherited some of those genes that maybe you say you did with age. My parents weren't heavy at all. I was going to sneak you into the department of magnesium. I've always been intrigued with magnesium absorption in the body, but I'm aware of its therapies, but I'd like you to comment on that for people to know about it.
Magnesium is an important nutrient. It's very interesting. In all the years I've practiced medicine, I've had dozens of people ask me, am I eating too much calcium or not getting enough calcium? I don't believe I can ever recall, Gary, one person ever asking me, am I getting too much magnesium or too little magnesium? And yet that's much more important than calcium. Magnesium is nature's natural vasodilator, and people with angina, for instance, may sometimes be helped by just increasing their magnesium, because that helps to dilate the coronary arteries. And we know that magnesium is responsible for about 300 metabolic situations that occur in the body every day, and it's also important for the electrical conductivity of the heart. Every time the heart beats is due to an electrical impulse, and the regulation of that electrical impulse is largely due to the magnesium we have in the body. If you have decreased magnesium, you're more likely to get what we call AFib, or auricular fibrillation, an irregular heart rate, and that can often be cured by just increasing the magnesium and maybe also a little bit of potassium and calcium without going to prescription medication to do it. It's a very important mineral. Most North Americans, studies show, are lacking in magnesium.
Interesting. And everybody's running for the calcium for osteoporosis.
Right. Running in the wrong direction. Matter of fact, if you take too much calcium, particularly calcium pills, you can get into a little bit of trouble, because when you eat calcium in your food, the blood level of calcium just has a very slight upward curve. When you take a supplement of calcium, say 600 milligrams of calcium, you don't get that smooth curve. You get an immediate spike in the blood, and that we believe that immediate high spike of calcium in the blood can mean that some of the calcium goes into arteries rather than into bone. So that anyone who is taking calcium pills should, in addition, not only take calcium, but also vitamin D, which helps the manufacture, which helps rather the absorption of calcium from the bowel. But even more important, take vitamin K2. And vitamin K2 would direct calcium in the bone and not in the arteries.
Right, that is definitely, we're on line with that. I'm going to put you on the chopping block here now in regards to the FDA medical opposing, medical system opposing you doing an advertisement for Medi-C, a natural product. I've always avoided kicking sand in the giant's face and stay away from Health Canada, but maybe you can comment on that as a retired surgeon. You were certainly immersed in the medical system, and really I would like my son-in-law to hear this, but I don't know how to do that. But if you can comment on what some of where you would go with Health Canada and the medical pharmaceutical department regarding natural.
Well, I became a, I'm, first of all, I'm not a natural doctor. I don't set myself up as an expert on that, but I incorporated natural remedies into my practice after talking with Linus Pauling, of course, and after using vitamin C and lysine, which I believe helped save my life. So I do have patients on magnesium, and I like to stress to them that if there is a natural remedy, try that before you try prescription medication, because the New England Journal of Medicine has shown that every year 100,000 people die from prescription medication, and another 700,000 are seen in the emergencies of hospitals because of the unintended consequences of prescription drugs. So that it's much safer. In other words, the nice thing about going into a health food store, you're not going to die. No, I don't know of anyone who gets into serious trouble from going into a health food store and getting a natural remedy. But of course, that's not the truth. With prescription medication, as you well know, are synthetic, and the body was not really meant to take a lot of these synthetic medications. And we developed a politis in Canada where everyone has to have a pill for something, and I think it's a very, very dangerous, dangerous situation where people are reaching for pills, for a variety of pills, which have to be metabolized by the liver, excreted by the kidneys, and they're sometimes hard on the kidneys. You know, some of the renal transplants that are done because people are taking too many minor painkillers and injuring the kidneys that way. So it's a philosophy that I think is a bad one, and we're the most over medicated society in the history of the world. By that I mean North American society, Canada, and the United States. But when you look at the United States and the obesity and the type 2 diabetes and heart attacks in that country, they're certainly not with all the money that they're spending, they're not the most healthy country in the world.
Right. Now, my surgeon in the family, he takes bowels out quite often. He's helping a lot of elderly people, he says, and I believe he's a passionate man and a very caring, but he is medically, within the portfolio of a doctor for sure. And I held up a bottle of probiotics to him and said, well, I can save some of those surgeries. And he gave me an accommodating smile, so to speak. Yeah. I just so wish that the medical and the natural could ever marry. Although he did email me and ask me for some help, for some of his colleagues were commenting on probiotics being very useful there.
I wrote a column about a year ago, Where Are the Dead Bodies? Namely to emphasize that there are no dead bodies in health food stores, and lots of dead bodies from prescription medication. And of course, taking that type of view doesn't make me popular with the medical establishment. And certainly my attitude towards cholesterol-lowering drugs, which I believe history, Gary, will show that cholesterol-lowering drugs are the most unethical and the most dangerous medication that has been used by the medical profession on mega millions of unsuspecting medical consumers. I think history will show that it's been a real tragedy that we are that we are over medicating these people with a drug that is changing their basic physiology. And, you know, cholesterol is necessary for everybody. Every part of our body is a part of every living cell.
That's Dr. Jones, just getting a signal. We're going to be wrapping it up here. So interesting talking to you. Now, could you give us a GPS setting on how people can get a hold of you for more information, a website or something? Can you tell the listeners how to get a hold of you?
My website is www.docgive.com, www.docgive.com. And they sign up for it, which is free. They'll get a medical tip from me every week, which I hope is helpful for them.
Wonderful talking to you. Thank you very much, Gifford.
I appreciate your input. Nice talking to you, and have a great day.
All right, you too. Thank you.
Bye-bye.